Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area of Miami, Florida. Please join us as a special guest speaker comes now and challenges our hearts with a dynamic message from God's Word.
We have a guest speaker in the house today, whom the Lord is blessed. It's my brother from another mother. It's my brother from kind of like when you see him, you know, you can tell we grew up together from New York. You know, it's amazing. It's a dark. When you see him, you see me. We just cut and shape, you know, the same way. Amen. Because, I mean, it's just a wonderful man of God. You know, he's got a wonderful heart. You know, loves people. You know, and I've known, if you know him, I've known him for so many years like that. You know, I've known him all my life, you know. And we pray together. We do things together. I mean, I've seen how he pours out into a whole lot of people's life. You know, he just inspired me. I'm a pastor. At the same time, you know, when you look up to people, how, you know, the tenacity to be tenacious in obtaining something. When I look at this dude, man, I said, man, you know, when I grew up, I just want to be like you. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's just amazing what the Lord is doing in his life, you know. And it's just amazing how God do things. He was planned to minister the word of God today. And pastor said, well, maybe one of these days when I don't have nothing. But God allowed things to happen in his timing. Guess who is going to preach today? Dr. Silverman. Can you all please give him a round of applause? I don't know if any Spanish people speaking, any Spanish, you know, speaking person in this house today, and I just stand up here with him and just preach with him. He's speaking English and I just start speaking in Spanish.
Oh, you see what I'm talking about? Brothers. Okay. Interesting, because I just texted Pastor Dennis pertaining to the passing of his grandfather. And what was interesting was that, you know, Pastor Dennis and I were speaking about what would be a good day for me to do the sermon. And he was looking at a schedule and things like that, when he was going to be out of town and when it would be a good time. And we couldn't really find a time that was like the perfect time. So he says, well, let's just put you in for the week after Easter. And then his grandfather passes last night. And so he just sent me a text saying that it was divinely orchestrated that you would be speaking today. Because when we made the plan for me to speak, we had no idea. But, and I got to tell you, the Spanish service was amazing. And we all get everybody who's here now gets the benefit, because I made sure that the back door was locked so the Holy Spirit couldn't leave. So this room is filled with the Holy Spirit, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to, because I had no idea what I was going to speak about in the first service, like I don't really have anything really that defined to speak about, but one thing led to another, and I felt it was impactful. And I believe that everybody who's here today is here. The right people are here. The people who are supposed to be here are here. And I hope that you don't feel that I'm preaching at anybody, because I'm not, okay? I'm preaching based on my experience and years of studying and things I've seen that have worked for me. And hopefully I can pass some of those things on to you and will help be helpful in things that it's going on in your own lives. You know, it's interesting. When I was going to speak today, I said, okay, what would be appropriate, you know, to wear? You know, it's an honor to speak in front of the congregation. And I said, you know, should I wear a tie and jacket? Should I wear, you know, how should I dress? And it reminded me of the story that I told in the first service. So if you were there, you're going to hear it again. So anyway, it was a story about this church, and this church was like really into like dressing up on Sundays when they came to church, you know. But there was one guy in this church who always came like dressed in torn jeans and wrinkled shirts and never you know, dressed really well. And so some of the congregation came up to the pastor and said to the pastor, "Pastor, you know, you need to talk to this guy because, I mean, he's not dressed appropriate for church." So after the service, the pastor talks to this guy and he says to him, "Listen," he says, next week before you come to church, "I want you to pray to God and ask God what is the appropriate way for you to dress when you come to church." So the next week goes by and a guy comes to church and he's dressed in the same torn jeans and, you know, just really unkempt. So after the service is over, the pastor calls the guy up and he says to him, "Hey, didn't I ask you to pray to God and ask him what was the appropriate thing to wear when you came, you know, to church?" And the guy says to the pastor, I did. I prayed to God and God answered me. And I said, "God, what is the appropriate way for me to dress when I go to this church?" And God answered, "I don't know. I've never been there." So, right. And then that's exactly right. But one thing I can say is that it doesn't matter about the size of the church or anything else. I can assure you that the Holy Spirit is here, that this is a little church that has accomplished a lot of things, and that lives change coming to this church. And so, and you can wear anything you want. So what I'm going to be speaking about today is, or at least what I kind of semi have planned for what I'm going to speak today, is the power of words. And I can tell you that one thing for sure is that one of the things that my wife pounds into my head on a regular basis is how important everything that comes out of your mouth is. And I can tell you, if right from the book of Genesis, what did it say in the book of Genesis was that God was with the Word and the Word was with God. They were one in the same. And God spoke the entire world and everything in it into existence. Okay? So what I want to get across is that how important your words are. And not only how important your words are, but if they're fueled by the Holy Spirit, you can and still can talk your entire life into existence. The power of the word energized by the Holy Spirit. And it's very, very important. So I'm going to talk about a few words that I think are important, that I think that if you really grasp these words, it makes everything else kind of take place. Okay? Number one word that I enjoy and feel is super important in my life is called belief. Simple word, belief. But let me assure you that anything that you accomplish in your life is fueled by your belief. Anybody have any thought that having the intense belief of making things happen, having belief and having it strong, and the stronger your belief, the more things you can make happen. Now, what fuels belief is faith. So if you have faith and you believe, now you're becoming a powerhouse, because now you're being fueled by your faith in God, and that gives power to those words. And I don't think that people really realize just how much power you have inside of you. You know, one of the things that's really caught my attention recently is that they've come out with new kinds of drugs that are being used for the fight against cancer. And they're called immunotherapy type drugs. And these immunotherapy-type drugs are really interesting, because medicine has kind of finally figured out that through just chemotherapy, you can do so much, but the cure to cancer was never going to come through that type of therapy. However, there's these new drugs that have come out, okay, which are very interesting, in which the scientists have realized that the power inside of your body, your immune system that God implanted in you, is the only way that you can be cured. And so what they have basically done now is stimulated your body's immune system to cure itself. So what they found about tumors, for example, was that tumors have shields on them, a shield that kind of blocks the message to your immune system, which is why they're able to just eat up all these other cells and eventually kill you, because the brain is not getting the message. There's a block. So what they've basically done is they've created these different types of treatment where they actually, for example, in brain tumors, and in bladder cancer, they have actually injected the poliovirus into the brain. And the body immediately reacts to the fact that now there's a poliovirus in your brain, and the immune system is stimulated to such an extent that it attacks the poliovirus, kills the poliovirus, and gets rid of the tumor. And that people who have been near death with brain tumors have now been cured completely. This is happening at Duke. It's happening at a lot of different universities. With the use of stem cell transplants, they're finding in the University of Illinois, an 85% cure rate on people with sickle cell anemia. And through this new research that we found out, one of our congregants has got an appointment to see if he qualifies to be able to receive this type of treatment, won't need any chemotherapy. And after suffering with sickle cell and basically having a death sentence, now there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But the thing that I think that's most important about it is that what science has learned is that they're never going to be able to create a drug to kill a disease. But if you can help get your body, which God created and put this immune system in, and if you can get your immune system to attack what it is that's causing your illness, that's how you're going to cure it. So to me, it's a testament to the fact that God is the only answer and that nothing truly is impossible through God. Now, how many of you believe that? Okay, now I want all the liars to raise your hands. Okay? Because a lot of you say, I believe. But do you really believe? I mean, do you really believe to the point that there's no doubt that you're not creating a block that's preventing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that can cure anything? You just said it, that nothing is impossible, but you're creating a block that's going to prevent that Spirit from entering into you, giving you the wisdom, giving you the power. Imagine if you had a free flow of energy going between you and the Holy Spirit, the power that will put inside of you to do anything, create anything, speak things into existence, things that are inconsistent with God. It's amazing, and until you start having enough belief that you're willing to overcome getting out of your comfort zone. What do we mean by that? Okay. All of us have a comfort zone. Our comfort zone has been created by everything that's happened in our life up until that point, including especially the way you were brought up, the things that you had to endure growing up, and things along those lines. They did studies on, for example, boxers, professional boxers, who made millions and millions and millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And within 5 years after they retired, they were all broke. Why? Because they actually felt more comfortable broke, because that's what they came from. That's how their mentality was set up. And it happens over and over and over again. Why do alcoholics marry alcoholics? Why do people who have been abused marry abusers? I'm sure they don't put an ad on Craigslist. Maybe Faye maybe knows some people on Craigslist. Wanted abuser. Come from abused family. Can't live without it. Please contact us at this number. Okay? Of course that doesn't happen. Okay, but what you got to realize is that we are programmed. Let me give you an analogy. Okay? Let's talk about how many of you grew up with the internet and with computers? How many of you grew up with it? It was already in existence, okay? So you accept that the internet exists, right? And that you can use your computers and things like that, right? But you don't really know how. I mean, you don't really know how it goes from your computer and it connects to the internet, right? Because there's no wires. You can't see it. But you accept it. You know it's true. You know it's real. But you can't see it. Okay? Yet, why do so many people have problems in accepting the Holy Spirit? We know it's real. You've read the Word. You know the miracles. You've seen things happen in your life that you can't be explained. But why can't you just accept that as easy as you would accept that I can just turn on my computer and hook into the internet? Make sense? Now, let me explain to you, in my opinion, again, this is just my experience, the importance of being able to be hooked into the Holy Spirit. When I first got my first computer, I think it was like $1,200 or something like that at that time, and you got certain programs that came with the computer. You got the Windows, you got, you know, a few different programs. And when you turn on the computer, you could access those programs, right? And you can access those programs over and over again. And if you wanted to add programs, you could go out and buy programs and have your computer add these things to your computer so now you can get access to a few more programs, right? Remember those days? Okay. Then there was the internet. And when the internet came about, you could turn on your computer, you hook onto the internet, and guess what happened? You were able to access information from all over the world by just a flick of the switch, no wires. You hooked into the internet, and you could start downloading any kind of programs you wanted. And, of course, it's expanded and expanded and expanded from there. Okay? So we know how powerful the internet is in making your little computer a gazillion percent more powerful than if you weren't hooked into the internet. How many of you would even really be using your computers very much if you didn't have the internet? Okay, very little, right? Now, let's use the analogy, our brain. Okay, and we talked about before about how we're all programmed in certain ways growing up, by how we were raised, the things that we've gone through, the traumas in our life, everything. Okay, we are programmed. Okay, now, your brain feels comfortable in that area. Even if it's bad, it's considered your comfort zone. So every time you want to grow and expand and change, you're going to deal with things like fear, anxiety, worry, and all kinds of things because that doesn't feel comfortable for you, even if it's better for you, even if it's going to change your life. You don't feel comfortable. And that's why people have a tendency to continue to repeat and repeat and repeat. Now, that's not unlike your computer, where if you went onto your computer, you can only see the same programs over and over and over again. So, if you get baptized into the Holy Spirit, and you're hooked into the wisdom of God, that is your brain's internet. That's the internet. You want to change? You want to be different? All you need to do is hook into the Holy Spirit, ask, and you're going to receive. And the good part is, it doesn't matter if it's thundering, lightning, raining, storming, hurricaning, or anything else, your internet's not going to go down. It's always going to be functioning. And it's up to you whether you are going to tap into it or not, whether you're going to use it or not. So what needs to happen is, if you could imagine how small your computer is and how huge the internet is, and you can figure that your brain is that small, you could become anything that you want if you're able to access what you need to create what you want. And it's like we talked about earlier, the power of words. When you hook into the Holy Spirit, It's just like in the book of Genesis when God was with the Word and the Word was with God. You can speak what you want and declare what you want into existence. It says it throughout the Bible. How important are your words? My lovely wife tells me all the time, watch what you're saying. If I say one word that comes out of my mouth that's not in the right direction, you can bet it's going to be pointed out. Because of the fact that she understands as well how important it is that what you declare will become reality and you will draw it into your life. So what is it that you want in your life? And if you ask God and you ask the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom that you need to make all of that happen, the how-to will show up. Many years ago, Norman Vincent Peale was probably the first preacher who he wrote the book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And he said, throw your body over the bar and your heart will follow. The how-to will show up, but you have to have faith in God that he will deliver. And that's when we talk about believing, taking that step without seeing. Let's go back to the time of Jesus Christ. Okay, imagine you're an apostle. I have a little difficulty with this particular thing because imagine you're an apostle and you're like hanging out with Jesus for like 3 years, 3.5 years, going around, you know, curing the blind, making the blind see, raising people from the dead, curing leprosy, doing all of these things. And he's telling you that this is going to happen, that he's going to be crucified, that he's going to be raised, and you know all of this, and you have witnessed all of this, and you've been hanging out with him. And then he gets crucified, and then you get, like, Thomas. And he said, I'm not going to believe that he really came back unless I can put my finger in the wound where they crucified him. Initially, they didn't even believe that he had come back. And it also says in the Bible, you know, these people, these apostles were blessed. But who are the people who are truly blessed? And this is one that if you had a pencil, I'd tell you to write it down. The people who are really blessed are the ones who believe but have not seen. Because when you can believe that it's real and it's true and it's going to happen and you can really, really believe it without seeing it, that's a true blessing. Jesus, if I was hanging out with Jesus back then, and I was watching him doing all this curing and everything, and he said to me, Mark, listen, jump off that roof and start waving your arms. And if you do, you'll fly. You know what? I would do it. If I had experienced what they experienced, there wouldn't be the slightest bit of doubt in my mind. Okay? So we have a little bit of some people have a little bit of a tougher task, which is why you have to read the Word and why you have to pray. And it says in the Bible about praying incessantly, continuously, we need to pray. And if we want to open up that door and receive, we've got to be in the Word and we've got to pray and we've got to believe. And if we do all of those things, you can change anything that's happening in your life, because God changes the way people think. I have seen things happen in my life that there are no explanations for. It has to be, and I know that it's God. I have all of my faith. If I have a problem going on in my life, okay, where do I do? I run to call up Damon and I say, open the church. Open the church. I'm coming here to pray. I need help. Okay, because I've recognized the fact that if it's going to change, it's going to be God that's going to make a change. And I'm running here. And I'm a slow learner. It took me, I don't know. Damon and I came to church every morning at 5:30 in the morning for 5 years straight, 7 days a week. Why? Because I wanted to become more entrenched. I accepted, you know, when you grew up Jewish, okay, which I am, I consider myself a completed Jew. Amen. So, but when you grow up, I accepted Christ on an intellectual level, but when you've been bombarded your whole life that, you know, Christ was definitely not the Messiah. Not only that, he was a traitor. Okay? It takes you a little while before your entire emotional system can handle and accept that that's the truth. So I was accepting it on certain levels, but not completely and totally as I do today. And so that's why you have to keep praying. And you got to, if you want to change, you're going to have to reprogram your computer. And the only way to reprogram the computer is to continue to download the information that you need to help you become who you need to become. Now, since we're talking about words, I'm going to put another word that I believe was the essence of the entire purpose behind the entire changing of minds when it came to Jesus Christ being the Messiah. And that one word, if I had to sum it all up in one word, would be forgiveness. Now, to me, forgiveness is the most, next to, right in there with belief, maybe even more importantly, the word forgiveness is the most important word that exists. Because, and it's also, by the way, for those of you who like, it's also one of the most selfish things you can do for yourself is forgive. Right? He did something bad to me. I'm forgiving him. And it's like, and that's something that's selfish for me. I don't get it. Okay? When you forgive somebody, you detach from that thing, that episode, that thing that happened, that whatever it is that's a negative thing that occurred, if you forgive, you can let go. Forgiving doesn't necessarily mean, and tomorrow night I'm calling them up and we're going to go out to dinner, we'll go to a Heat game together and hang out and do things like that. That's not forgiveness necessarily. You can forgive and not necessarily say, okay, now I'm going to go back into business with this guy, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But the process of not having that energy, that negative energy that causes, in my opinion, is the cause of so much disease. Because disease wasn't always disease. It was dis-ease. Two words. Dis-ease. When you are in a state of dis-ease, it leads to symptoms. And then all of my medical friends and people in healthcare, then we take these symptoms, we put them together, and we give it a name. And we call it a diagnosis. And once you accept that diagnosis, you own it. It's yours. You got it. It's yours. You just accepted it as being, I got this. And so once you've done that, guess what? You are now a victim. You're a victim of whether it's a doctor or whoever it happens to be, that you're now going to be basically hooked into that diagnosis, what drugs you need to take, and take you away from the process that all healing comes from above, down, inside, and out. That's how it works. So by forgiving, it allows you to let go of the past and move forward without being held back and without having the anger and the different things that come along with being hurt to affect what you do on a going forward basis. Very, very important is forgiveness. The other thing, the other word that I think is very important is fear. Let me assure you, and it says in the Bible, fear does not come from God. Okay? Yet, fear affects each and every one of our lives. So the question is, how do we deal with fear? And the way we deal with fear is we don't. The way we deal with fear is we give it to God. We give the situation that's creating the problem, we give it to God, we believe that God is going to handle it, we let it go, and we continue to move forward in the direction that we really need to be moving. That does a tremendous amount. When you let go of that, it allows you to grow tremendously. If you're living in fear, you're blocked all over the place, and you're not able to receive the Spirit. Fear is going to receive, is going to block you from receiving the Spirit. It's for sure. Now, you would not be normal if you didn't at times experience fear, worry, doubt, things along those lines. But it's how you react to those things that's the key. And anytime you're going to grow, anytime you're going to change, this is really important, I believe, to understand, at least it's been in my life. And that is anytime you're going to do something, whether even if it's something really, really good for you, you're getting out of your comfort zone. When you get out of your comfort zone, you start experiencing anxiety, worry, and fear. Okay, and how you deal with that will determine whether you stay where you were or you're allowed to go through it. Once you continue and you don't allow the fear to control you and you succeed, then you can continue to move forward more and more, and those things like fear and worry and anxiety become less and less and less prevalent in your life. So that's why I tell you to continue to pray, because God knows that in my existence, I've had plenty of things that I've been fearful of, had anxiety over, worried over, and things along those lines. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you right now, because His hand has reached out from heaven to do things in my life. And He's continuing to do so on an everyday basis. So understanding the importance of all of these different words, you have just, if you just only could grasp how powerful that power that you can harness can be transmuted into your body to accomplish almost anything. Nothing is impossible. That's where it comes from. Through Him. Through Him. So you got to open up the pathways. We talk about tithing. I believe very strongly in tithing. I believe that giving, the road you give on is the road you get on. And when we first start giving, that road is small. And as you give more, that road increases. And it's two lanes. It's the lanes, cars going one way and cars going the other way. And I believe that the more you continue to give one way, it starts coming back the other way. Not just on a level of, and there's two bank accounts. There's the money bank account, and there's the blessing bank account. The blank, you know, so God will give on all levels and different things to different people. But what I don't understand is why somebody wouldn't want to have God as his partner in everything that he did. That's who I want watching my back. That's who I want watching my back, because there's certainly plenty of haters out there. So I go, Lord, they're yours. That's your department. Okay? I can't be bogged down by that. I got too much to do. So I'm putting it in your hands. And sure enough, let me tell you, an experience in my life, when I have done that, anything I could have considered doing on my own, when I turned it over to God, what ended up happening was far greater than anything I could have ever thought of, okay? So I can tell you this, is that continuing to have the faith, and I'm not saying it's easy when things are not going well, when you're not feeling good, when business is bad, when this, but it doesn't change that you continue to pray, have faith, believe, declare, and just continue, and as you continue to do that, you see things that will continue to change. My wife and I are very into watching, we like to watch movies. I don't know, how many of you have ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire? Okay, a lot of you. The greatest example, that made a tremendous impact in my life, and that was in the 80s when it came out. And it's a story about these four people, men from different ways of life, who were all competing to be in the Olympics in Europe. And there was one guy, his name is Eric Little. It's a true story. And Eric Little was like considered to be the fastest in what he ran. But when it came time for his heat to come up in the Olympics, it was on a Sunday. And he refused to run. He said, I'm not going to run. So on Sunday, I have to honor my God. They were freaking out, all the politicians and people, you know, from in Europe and everything, because, you know, this was their star. But he basically, actually one of the other runners ended up stepping down because he was running in two events And he said, just to watch you run. What a blessing. This is a guy who, when he ran, these other guys who were competing against him, they all had these coaches and were spending tremendous amount of money on learning how to maximize your stride and running the way you're supposed to. I mean, to get the best out of their performance. All this guy Eric Little had, he was a minister. He ended up, after the Olympics, he actually got killed in China doing ministry work. Okay? But when you watched him run, he was almost like a wild animal. He was not coming from, I got to put my foot here, I got to hold my hip here, I got to do this thing here. He just drew his energy from God. And in one race where he fell down and was in last place, he like ran a mile sprint to win the race. And it was a qualifying race for the Olympics where somebody had knocked him down when he was running. And everybody just stood there in awe because what he had just done, nobody else had ever been able to do. I mean, everybody was totally freaking out. Like, you know, that would be like Dwayne Wade scoring 80 points or something. I mean, it was incredible. Thing is that he was drawing his energy. It was like you couldn't watch it and not be moved and know that a higher power, God was working in him, and that he wasn't thinking about nobody's ever done this before. He wasn't thinking about how can I possibly come back from this deficit. He wasn't thinking about how unfair it was that he was tripped. He wasn't thinking about any of that. He only had one thing on his mind, to win that race. And God gave him the power, extraordinary power, to be able to do that. And we all have that power. Each and every one of us sitting here. Okay, but it does require work. And it does require faith, belief, and doing the things that need to be done to draw on that power. And then once you do that, I mean, you can really get to the point where you feel like you're just speaking things into existence. You just say something and it happens. You say something and it happens. You say something, it happens. You say something, this one comes into your life. You say something, this one leaves your life. It is amazing what can happen in your life. But you gotta believe. You gotta really, really have the faith and believe and understand that all of us are works in progress. Not one of us sitting in this room is perfect. And all of us need God's help in order to get as close as we can to the point that he wants us to be. And the way we do that is we develop a relationship. You know, I was brought up Jewish, and I always felt blessed, always had a connection with God, always felt that, you know, that we were God's chosen people. I've always had that relationship, except when I prayed to God, God had no face. Because I didn't accept Jesus Christ at that time. So what I did is I grew up and my grandfather, I had a very, very close relationship with my grandfather. And he used to tell everybody in the family that I was born for something special. Didn't go over well with the other grandchildren. Okay? But my whole life, he just would always say that. So when he passed away, I was about 12. But guess what? I believed that what he was saying was true. I chose to believe it. And because I believed it, I believe that's one of the reasons, the main reasons, that I have manifested things. Because I had that belief. And then when Pastor Dennis told me after I accepted Christ that I was doubly blessed. Now I was blessed because I was chosen, and now I was blessed again because I accepted Christ. I said, now there's nothing that can stop me. Okay, I chose to believe that now I'm doubly blessed. And the only mistake that I sometimes make is trying to do too much myself and not letting God set the stage, make it happen, put the everything in place, and letting him be the leader and me be the follower. So when I pray, that's what I pray, because I'm motivated as it is. Okay, and what I have a tendency to do is kind of maybe push too hard sometimes and not step back and talk to God first and find out where he wants me to go. You know, it says in the Old Testament that man makes plans and God laughs. Okay, and there's a lot of truth to that. So what I'm saying to you is that we're sitting in this room. I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit is in this room right now, and that no matter what's going on in your life, if you put it out there to that Holy Spirit that's coming directly from God, that's being generated because of what's transpiring in this room, anything that's going on in your life can be changed. Anything. Any illness that you have can be cured. Nothing is impossible. A few weeks ago, in one of our congregants, the one that has the sickle cell, okay, he had a death sentence. Now, they're getting an 85% cure with stem cell replacement. And I was sitting in this room 2 weeks ago, and I said, you know what? I realized I hadn't seen him in a while, so I Googled it. New cures in stem cell. New cures in sickle cell. And all of a sudden, I found out that there was an 85% cure rate by doing transplants of stem cells. And now he has an appointment with Mayo to see if he qualifies to have this done. And if it does, and he does, his life is completely changed. Okay, so when people don't think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, when people don't think that there's any hope, that's when you got to really, really test your faith and talk to God and have him show you what you need to do in order to get to where you want to get and where you need to get. And by the way, just in case you're not aware of this, I can tell you this, and I think it's a country western song, but I'm not going to sing it. But in the song, it talks about, my wife probably knows the name of the song, but where he talks about the best thing that's happened in his life with the prayers that were not answered. Which song is that? I don't remember. But he prayed, and that is the truth also, because a lot of times we're praying for things that we want, and if that's not consistent with God's plan, believe me, and I could think of a lot of things that I've wanted that I'm sure glad didn't happen. Okay? So, again, that's where the faith and trust is and the acceptance. And I'm going to close with talking about another word. Just came to my mind because, you know, I wouldn't want to leave it out. And it's also one of those words that I think are key to being happy and successful in life. And the word is accept. Now, what do I mean by the word accept? The biggest mistake I think that people make with the word accept is they think that accept means agree. Nah, it doesn't mean that. Okay? You can accept something and disagree with it. Okay, so your ability to accept, and I'm talking on an emotional level, I'm talking about on a spiritual level, you can accept without agreeing. When you get to that point, you open up an entire road of good things that are going to happen in your life. Because when you react to accepting, thinking that you have to agree, you're throwing up blocks. You're throwing up blocks. I'm telling you, you're throwing up blocks. The more you leave yourself open to receive, you're going to get. The more blocks you have put up around yourself, the harder it is for you to do that. Okay? And there's little things that seem to be little, but they're not little. They're gigantic. Because we think that words are not that important. And I can tell you one thing I've learned, and again, I give credit to my wife on this, is that because she keeps pounding it into my head, is that if I happen to come up with a word or declare something that's not consistent with what you want in your life or what you want God to give you in your life, then don't declare it and don't say it. And if you're not feeling good, don't complain and don't make yourself a victim and all this other stuff that people do by the words that come out of your mouth. And it's easy to say it when you're not going through it. So it's one of those easier things, you know, said than done. But I can guarantee you that if you continue to pray, you read the Word. Because when you read the Word, God talks to you through the Word. I guarantee it. How many of you have ever gone to a seminar? Okay? And when you've gone to a seminar, the guy up front is teaching something. And while he's teaching something, have you ever noticed that it also triggers off other thoughts that may not even be related directly to what he's talking about? Have you ever had that experience? Anybody? Okay. Well, when you read the Word, you're reading the Word, and what you're reading, you know, is coming into your mind. But it's also opening up a door for God to start planting thoughts in your mind. And when that happens, I mean, that happens all the time. So the more you do that, the more you're reprogramming your computer to be in line with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and the more you do that, you will be able to change any part of your life if you have the guts, which comes from the faith, to do it. And I think that's about it. And I just want to thank everybody for, you know, giving me the opportunity to, you know, to talk about, you know, my experiences of what have, you know, I have just found through my own journeys that continue. So those of you who have seen me on TV, so get to see the other side, you know, instead of the commercial with the money coming down from the sky and things like that. But all I can tell you is that anything good, oh, got to hit you with another word, sorry. Gratitude. How could I forget that? How can I forget that? The one opener, door opener for abundance in your life is gratitude and giving God the glory. You got to do that. You know, I've been blessed in a lot of ways, but I can tell you the biggest change that I made in my life from the time I accepted Jesus Christ was I give God all the glory. I take none of the credit, and there's no ego involved in any of it. Okay? Was I successful economically at one time in my life? Of course. Okay? But it was like ego-driven rather than godly-driven. And that's what makes the difference, because when it's coming because and you're giving all the credit to God, you have a vacuum that always remains open for more abundance. Okay, your brain, remember, your brain is small compared to the universe. So if you're going to take all the credit, you're going to take all the blame, and there isn't going to be an awful lot of room for you to continue to grow and expand. But if you're able to give things over to God, all of the successes, all the work, if you're just able to do that, you are wide open for receiving. And if you want to fill that vacuum with God's blessings, you got to be reading the Word and praying on a regular basis. So I hope I didn't bore you. I hope you got the Spirit. I got to tell you something. This church is an incredible church. I mean, if you think about what this church is accomplishing, opening up churches in the Dominican Republic, how many families this church feeds on a month-to-month basis, all of the different programs and things that this church is doing, how this church reaches out. Now this thing with the jobs, we're reaching out to so that people who need jobs will be able to get jobs. I mean, this church is incredible, okay? And what makes it incredible is all of you, because it's your church. You drive it. You make it happen. It's your church. And again, as Lonnie mentioned on Wednesday night, for those of you who wonder, you know, what happens with, you know, what are all of the assets of this church being used for on Wednesday night when they're having the board of directors meeting, every penny that's been spent and collected is going to be disclosed to everybody. So you can see what you're making happening. And I think it's important for you to come and see that, because if you realize what this church has accomplished in this community, okay, and basically we're not on the same level as a lot of these other churches as far as size is concerned and things like that. But I can tell you that in many cases, we do more in this church than most of the other churches that I'm aware of that are bringing in a lot more money and have a lot more people. So it's a good thing to see. It'll make you feel good to see with how relatively little, how much incredible stuff that this church is doing, and it's all because of you. So, you know, give yourself some credit and some applause for being focused on doing what needs to be done in order to help as many people as we can, because that's our goals. And just getting a better relationship or a relationship with Jesus. Because once you have that and you talk to him and he talks to you, if they don't lock you up in the loony bin, you are gonna, it's unbelievable what you can accomplish in your lives, and that what can be overcome and what can be cured and what can be changed. So again, I just want to thank you for letting me speak with you and allowing me to be part of your church.
Don't go yet, Dr. Sevenner. It's amazing, you know, when God is giving you the ability to be able to impart the word of knowledge and understanding into people's life. Doc spoke about three things very powerfully. He talked about the power of prayer. It talks about the power of staying in the word. And it talks about practicing what you preach. So in order for you to be able to do those things, it talks about faith. Why is it there so many people with more doubts than more faith? So what we're going to pray for now is for God to increase your faith. Just like we did in the Spanish service, the power, the presence of the Lord was in the house. Because people were so moved by the word that they wanted their faith increased. See, every one of us can use a little bit more faith, can't we? So I want to just encourage you to stand with me as we go before the presence of the Lord in prayer today. See, just to need a little bit more faith. Can you get those lights for me, please? You see, it's amazing when God is drawing you for such a time as this. He knows the heart and mind of each and everyone in this place. And he knows what is holding you back. You know, fear kills more dreams than failure because of lack of faith, because of doubt. Have you been struggling with that thing? Or just want to take a step forward and couldn't go forward?
And you don't fail until you quit.
You don't fail until you quit. So we're going to do something now. If you just need for us to pray for God to increase your faith, let our faith meet your faith so God can bring that increase. One preach, one water, and God gives the increase. One planted, one water, another one gave the increase, which is God. So today we're going to pray for you. If you're in this place today and your relationship with the Lord is not where it's supposed to be because your faith is not where it's supposed to be, if you would like for us to pray for you today, we just would like for you to make a bold step of faith. And just meet us right here in the front so we can come in agreement with you. So we can come in agreement with you and pray with you and pray for you, because we know there is nothing too hard for God to do. You see, God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever think or imagine. You see, yes, thank God for you. Thank God for you. So we're just going to take this and before the presence of the Lord to increase your faith. Just the mustard seed of faith that will take you to another level in your walk with the Lord. So as Doc begin to pray for you, we're just going to begin to intercede for the Lord to make that little faith that you have, just a little bit more faith, and take that faith to another level so he can bring you into the place where you need to be in your relationship with the Lord. We all have heard today there is nothing too hard for God does exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can never think or imagine. So our dog prays for us today. Just open your heart, mind, soul, and spirit to receive what the Lord has for you.
Dear Lord, we stand before you, Lord, because we recognize the words that the Holy Spirit put in my mouth today pertaining to the importance of having the relationship with you and having the faith that we need to overcome all of the trials and tribulations that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis in our lives. The heartache, the illness, the economic problems, and all other types of abuses and things that happen, Lord, that we need you, Lord. We need you to intervene. We need you to take care of and get rid of any worry, anxiety, and fear. And give us the faith to turn it over to you, Lord, to turn it over to you and really let go, to detach ourselves from those thoughts, detach ourselves from fear, detach ourselves from all of those things, those worries and things that prevent us from moving forward in your walk, the walk that you want for us, Lord. So I ask you, Lord, right now to intervene in each and every person here, Lord, to intervene and dramatically increase their faith, Lord, and show them, Lord, over the next 24 to 48 hours, Lord, put them in a state of awareness, Lord, to be looking for you working in their lives in a way that they haven't seen before, Lord. I ask you, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, to give them so much faith and so much belief that they will just draw into their lives everything that they need. And anything that needs to be healed and anything that needs to be done will be taken care of by you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your blessings, for being here, for being willing to do all the things that you're willing to do for us if we just ask in the name of Jesus. And so we're asking you right now in the name of Jesus to intervene in each and every one of our lives. And I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Abba, Father, we just want to thank you for your awesome presence in this place. We thank you for Dr. Silverman. It's been a blessing to each and every one of us in this place. Releasing your Rhema word from heaven, this able and grafted word that's able to save our soul and our spirit. We pray, Abba, Father, on this day that you will continue to bless him beyond measure. You continue to wrap your arms around him and his wife. Lord, that no weapon that is formed against them is ever going to be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against them and shall and will be silenced in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will continue to elevate them. You will continue to bless them coming in, going out in the field and in the city. Would you continue to order their steps, Father God, in your word? Continue to be the lamp unto their feet and the light unto their path. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for we could boldly, just boldly come before your presence, Lord God, and release, Father God, your divine anointing, blessings into each and every one of our lives. Father God, as we depart from this place today, may your Holy Spirit rest upon each and every one of us, Lord God, leading, guiding, directing, and ordering each and every one of our steps, Father God, in your word. Continue to be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. That the power of faith, the power of prayer, the ability both to will and to do of your good pleasure will manifest in the life of your people from this day forth and even forevermore as we pray this prayer of faith today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. We just lift up those, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want to connect with sisters.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website, www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.